Welcome to Practical Christian Living.
We don't want to just receive things. We want to confirm it for ourselves. We want to own what we believe. So if you just hear me talk about it, or someone else on the radio, or someone you listen to on YouTube, and you just listen to what they say, but you don't learn it for yourself, then you don't own it. When you study it diligently, you own it and you can defend it.
Listening to good Bible teachers like we do right here on the radio or online is good. It is one way we come to learn and understand God's Word. But we need to study God's Word for ourselves, just like the Bereans in the Bible, to make sure what we're learning is true and lines up with God's Word. With Romans 14, 1 through 14, here's Robert Furrow, pastor of Calvary, Tucson.
We go line by line, verse by verse through books of the Bible, and our desire is to learn what God's Word says so we can know what to believe. We don't study the Scriptures to find backing for what we already believe. We want to know what the Bible says so we can know what to believe. It's the difference between eisegesis and exegesis in theology. So exegesis is when you exegete a text. You learn what you're going to take from the text. Exegesis is when you put your own thoughts onto the text so that you are now reading into the text what you want to hear. Our desire is always to know what is the text telling us and how can we learn from it. Now, the title of our message today is How Mature Faith Handles Disagreements Without Division. How Mature Faith Handles Disagreements Without Divisions. It's Romans 14, 1 through 14. We might make it all the way through the text today. It's kind of one of those passages that you need to cover in whole. If I don't make it all the way through, I'll be recovering a lot of this stuff next week just to make sure that everybody's on the same page. Our subtitle today is When Christians Disagree. How are we to respond when, as Christians, we disagree? If you and I do not have the same authority, then it's probably not worth us talking. If you're talking to someone and they're involved in progressive Christianity is where emergent Christianity came to. So progressive Christianity rejects the authority of Scripture. They kind of have postmodern thought. I have my own truth. I'm the arbiter of what's right and wrong, of what's really true. And so if someone doesn't have the Scriptures as their authority, you're going to have a really hard time having a conversation with them. And so you probably, at that point, should either discuss what's authority, what's authoritative, or move on, because it's not going to be effective. The same thing is true within Catholicism. I have a friend that I played racquetball with for years. He was a defense attorney, and he was in the Swiss Guard in Catholicism. And I learned pretty quick, you don't want to argue with a defense attorney, because that's what they do for a living. And I also learned that it was better for us to talk about what we believed our authority was, because he put tradition as high as the Scriptures. And so when I would ask him a question like, when Jesus says, don't call anyone on earth father, and you guys call a priest father, how is it that you do that when the Scriptures say that? And then he'll go back to his traditions. And then, of course, there are things that the Pope says that can be equal to what Scripture is. Now, not every Catholic is the same in the way that they think, and I believe that there are Catholics who are genuine Christians, but when I'm discussing a difference with them, a disagreement with them, I usually will say, let's find common ground. If we're going to talk about what we believe and what we disagree on, let's find common ground as to what we really take as authoritative, because otherwise you're just going to end up talking in circles. And that's why you need to learn, when you're just in a disagreement with someone, whether or not they believe in sola scriptura, whether or not they believe that the Bible is their authority, whether or not they're really serious about God, whether they take their feelings over Scriptures. In a recent written book covering really masculinity today and the problems of what's called toxic masculinity, And the idea in the book is there's toxic people. There's not toxic masculinity and toxic femininity. There's just toxic people. And men can be toxic. And in that book, they discuss the new numbers on divorce. And I talked about this last weekend, but what's really interesting to me is that in divorce is climbing in the secular world. People used to say that 50% of people get divorced. That number is now higher. I don't know what the exact number is, but it's higher for someone who is secular. And in the Christian faith, if you are a serious believer, if you are following Christ wholeheartedly, if you're like Caleb and Jacob and you're serving God, you're saying, I want to do what you want me to do. I want to live what you want me to live, and I want to put away the things that I need to put away. And God will help you with his Spirit to sanctify you. He will convict you and help you to be able to become that kind of a person. If you are a nominal Christian, if your faith is held loosely and you have a lot of compromise in your life, then somewhere around 80% of nominal Christians get a divorce. And less than 20% of those who are serious in their faith get a divorce. So where before people used to say that being a Christian doesn't really help as far as staying married, well, it does. If you're a sincere, sold out believer, if you really have a heart for Christ. And that's true too when you and I are talking about a topic. If we're talking about a topic and we have a disagreement and our authority is the scriptures, we should be able to come to where we agree. But there are some things that are doubtful. Now, here's what the Bible says. Here's what the Bible say about scripture. It's scripture talking about scripture. So an atheist would say this is begging the question. If someone says, that begs the question, how are you doing? That's not begging the question, by the way. Begging the question is circular reasoning. It's when I say, the Bible says this, therefore it's true. So I'm using the Bible to say that. Now, I believe that the scriptures are true. So when I read a passage like this where the Bible says that the Bible is inspired, I believe that God's word is inspired because of the prophecies within God's word, because of the historicity of the scriptures, because of the finds that we have archaeologically that all point to the scriptures being true in real history. And so 2 Timothy 3:16 and 17 says, all scripture is given by inspiration of God and profitable for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be complete, thoroughly equipped in every good work. Now notice it said, all scripture is given by the inspiration of God. Peter talked about Paul's writings and said people twist his writings because they're hard to understand as they do the rest of the scriptures. And our canon, the New Testament, was discovered more than it was chosen. The Council of Nicaea did not choose the 27 books of the New Testament. The Council of Nicaea just kind of ratified what had been believed in the second century, early third century, so the late 200s, early 300s, we have the canon of scripture complete and total with some questions about Revelation, because Revelation is a hard one to understand, some questions about 3 John, and some questions about James, because to some, James seemed to be saying things that were different than what Paul said. But all scripture, which they weren't, by the way, James is just fighting a different enemy. So James says, show me your faith without your works, and I'll show you my faith by my works. So James is saying, once we are saved, there are going to be works that are going to be evidence that we're genuinely saved. And Paul was saying we're saved by grace through faith. It's not of works, lest anyone should boast. James doesn't contradict that. He's just fighting. James is fighting the people who are saying, I don't have to do anything. I'm a Christian. I gave my life to Christ and nothing needs to change. And James is like, everything needs to change. But Paul says that too. When Paul said, if anyone is in Christ, he's a new creation. Old things pass away and everything becomes new. Even the verse where he says, we are saved by grace through faith, not of works, lest we should boast. It goes on to say in verse 10, that's verses 8 and 9. In verse 10, it says, for we were created for good works in Christ. So even those scriptures, once you dive into them and begin to compare scripture to scripture, you see that they're working together. So 2 Peter says this, knowing this first, this is 2 Peter 1, 20 and 21. Knowing this first, that no prophecy of Scripture, and prophecy is being used here as God speaking to men. So God giving men the word of God to write down. It's not a prophecy like, thus saith the Lord to an individual. It's a prophecy of Scripture. So no prophecy of Scripture is of any private interpretation. So no one can say, that's not what it says to me. To me, God's saying this. Now, you can say that if you genuinely believe that, but you don't get to choose what the text says. You have to figure out what was meant when it was said, because God had a purpose for saying it. The writer who was receiving the inspiration of God had a purpose, a reason for saying it. The person hearing it heard something and got direction from what they said. And that's why studying the culture, studying the setting, the context, what it meant to the person that received it is all really important, because it's not of a matter of a private interpretation. It says, for prophecy never came by the will of men, but holy men of God spoke as they were moved by the Holy Spirit. So again, we have the Scriptures as our authority, and we got to find out what it is that they are saying. Scriptures don't originate from human wisdom, but from God speaking through His servants. In John 10, 35, Jesus affirmed Scripture's authority, saying, the Scriptures cannot be broken, establishing that God's word is reliable and authoritative. That's Jesus. The Scriptures can't be broken. He said, not one word of the law is going to pass away until it is completed. Jesus is the one who completed the law, but God's word cannot be broken. The Bible gives us guidelines for reading and studying Scripture correctly. Number one, we have to rightly divide the word of truth. So we've got to be able to read a text and then understand what it's saying, and there is a right way to divide it and a wrong way to divide it. And if we divide it wrongly, well, we want to be corrected, right? We don't want to believe something the Bible doesn't say. We want to know what the Bible says. So 2 Timothy 2:15 says, be diligent, present yourself approved to God, a worker who does not need to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. Be diligent in learning it. If you believe something that is an outlier of what most of the church believes, then you really need to be diligent to see whether or not that's really true. If you say everybody else believes this, but I believe that, and sometimes I'll share that with you. I'll say, I think that Paul was the 12th apostle. I think that was God's choice, not Matthias. And I'm an outlier on that, because early on in Acts, it says that Paul went to the 12. And so Paul went where Matthias was and was met together. Now, I want to make sure I rightly divide the word of God. Now, whether it's Matthias or Paul may not be that important of an issue, but there's a lot of things that can affect our lives that we can wrongly divide. This is crucial. We must carefully and accurately handle Scripture, distinguishing between different contexts and audiences, knowing if the audience is Jewish, if the audience is Greek. So here in Rome, it's written to Romans. Some of them are Jewish and some of them are Romans in the Greek culture. And we are to compare, not only are we to rightly divide the word of truth, but we are to compare Scripture to Scripture. We are to interpret Scripture through Scripture. The Bible says that everything is confirmed by two or three witnesses. And that means that we want to go in, make sure that we're comparing Scripture to Scripture and making sure that we're rightly dividing it. If it says one thing obviously in one place, it probably means the same thing in another place. So here's what it says in 1 Corinthians 2:13. These things we also speak, not in words which men's wisdom teaches, but which the Holy Spirit teaches, comparing spiritual things with spiritual. So scriptural interprets Scripture. I was talking to some Jehovah Witnesses at my door 30 years ago. And there's a couple of them that are there. And we start talking about the Bible. And I start comparing Scripture to Scripture. I go to a couple of different verses to make the point that Jesus is God. And the older guy who's there, there's an older guy and a younger guy. And the older guy who's there, he's probably 50 at the time, by the way. The older guy who was there said, you can't go jumping around the Bible like a rabbit. And it's like, well, that may be true. You know, you just don't want to go from text to text. Have you ever heard anybody ever use a text to back up what they're supposed to be saying to not have it back it up at all? That would be jumping around the scriptures like a rabbit. Or when somebody is arguing with you and they say something like, oh, for their point, well, I just think that you really need to love God. And I'm like, how does that apply to your point? And who doesn't want to love God? We all want to really love God. And so a lot of times they'll use arguments trying to back up their side when it's not dealing with the text at all. And that would be jumping around the Bible like a rabbit, but not going to genuine places to see what the Bible has to say about the very topic that you're covering. Now, the Bible also says that we are to study diligently. It says in Acts 17:11, these were more fair-minded than the Thessalonians. These were the Bereans. Berea was a town near Thessalonica in Macedonia, in that they received the word with all readiness and searched the scriptures daily to find out whether or not these things were so. So we want to be diligent as we study them. The Bereans were commanded to examine the scripture carefully and regularly to verify what they were being taught. So we don't want to just receive things. We want to confirm it for ourselves. We want to own what we believe. So if you just hear me talk about it, or someone else on the radio, or someone you listen to on YouTube, and you just listen to what they say, but you don't learn it for yourself, then you don't own it. When you study it diligently, you own it and you can defend it. And that's what we want from the scriptures. We don't want to just be able to say, well, that's what Robert says, that's what Skip says, that's what Pastor Chuck used to say, because there are things that Pastor Chuck said that were wrong, or that Skip has said that is wrong. Don't tell him I said that. Pastor Chuck has passed away. But things that Skip has said that are wrong as well. And so you want to make sure that you're self-testing to see whether those things are right or wrong. James 1, 22 through 25 says this, but be doers of the word and not hearers only. So what we study in the scriptures is so important that we are to be doers of the word. So we're not reading it academically just to learn what it says so that we can know what it says, but we're reading it to see how it's going to affect us so we can know how to live. What does God want from me? What does God want from you? But be doers of the word and not hearers only, deceiving yourself. For if anyone is a hearer of the word and not a doer, so someone who sits and hears the scriptures, but you walk out and you don't do them at all, he is like a man observing his natural face in a mirror, for he observes himself, goes away, and immediately forgets what kind of man he was. So the idea that you look in a mirror, see that you got some problems you got to fix, and you walk out and you forget all about it. That's what we do with the scriptures. It reveals it to us, but if there's no action on our part, then the scriptures haven't done anything inside of us. It goes on to say, but he who looks into the perfect law of liberty, note that the scriptures are called the law of liberty because following the scriptures sets us free. We are, of all people, Paul said, the most free. Why are we free when we follow the scriptures? Because it's true freedom. It's true security. It's doing things correctly. And there's freedom that comes in that. So it says, he who looks in the perfect law of liberty and continues in it and is not a forgetful hearer, but a doer of the work, this one will be blessed in all he does. It promises that if we will study scripture and do what it says, that we will be blessed in all that we are doing. It reminds me of when Jesus was teaching and the woman cried out, blessed is the woman who bore you and or the womb that bore you and the breast that nursed you. And Jesus' response was, yes, but more so are those who hear my word and do them. So you are under a blessing when you hear God's word and do it. And according to James 1, 22 through 25, what you do is blessed when you are a doer of the word. When you're doing what the Bible says, then what you're doing is blessed. And when you live under God's word, doing what's right, then you're living under a blessing. Now, we live in a cursed and a fallen world. There's enough that's ugly out there. If I can bring a blessing in my life, into my home, into my family, by the things I do and them being blessed, and the things that I myself living under a blessing, then that's extremely powerful. Now, Scripture must transform our lives, not just inform our minds. It must transform our lives, not just inform our minds. John 17, 17 says, if anyone wills to do his will, that is, if anyone wills to do God's will, he shall know concerning the doctrine, whatever it is from God, whether I speak of my own authority. This is an interesting scripture. It's saying, if you have the desire to do what you're studying, you're going to understand it. And you might not understand it if you don't have a desire to do it, which kind of makes sense because the things of the Bible are spiritually discerned, the scriptures say. And so if you're not wanting to do it, then why would the Spirit go out of its way to touch your heart, to bring something home, to make something powerful to you? But if you want to do it, then the Spirit will go out of his way because that's the heart that is a receiving from God's word. We want to do it. In the Old Testament, God had said, my people continually put things in front of them that cause them to sin. Should I allow myself to be heard by them at all? That is an interesting way to put it. They put things in front of them that make them sin, talking about false idols. So anything that is an idol in your life, anything that you live for, anything that is wrong that you continue to do, then should I allow myself to be heard by them? So God's questioning whether he should even speak to someone who is continually putting an idol in front of their lives. And so we want to have hearts of complete repentance towards God.
Practical Christian Living with Robert Furrow is a ministry of Calvary Tucson. We hope this Bible study helps you to live a life that brings glory to God and draws others to Him. If you'd like to hear more of Robert Furrow's teachings, you can visit calvarytucson.com. Producing this program would not be possible without the support and generosity of our listeners. If you would like to partner with us financially and help spread the life-saving message of the gospel, please visit pclaz.org. That's pclaz.org, where you can make a secure one-time donation or sign on to become a monthly partner on a reoccurring basis. We'd love for you to join us at one of our two campuses in Tucson. Our West Campus is located at 5170 South Julian Drive, and our East Campus is located at 8711 East Speedway Boulevard. East Campus service times are Saturday at 6 p.m. and Sunday at 10 a.m. Our West Campus meets Sunday at 8:45 and 11:15 a.m. Our midweek service times are Wednesday at 6 p.m. and 7:15 p.m. at our West Campus. You can also listen live to our Saturday 6 p.m., Sunday morning 10 a.m., and Wednesday evening 6 p.m. service right here on Reach Radio. 106.7 FM, 96.1 FM HD4, 690 AM, and streaming at reach.radio. Or visit our Reach Radio app on your Android or iPhone. If you have recently accepted Jesus into your life, or you have any questions about salvation, we'd love to help guide you in your journey to Jesus. Text Ready for Jesus to 94,000. Don't forget to follow us on social media, Instagram at Calvary Tucson or Facebook at Calvary Chapel Tucson. Our local listeners can watch Practical Christian Living Sunday mornings at 8:30 on KEGA 9 TV. Thank you for joining us for Practical Christian Living, a ministry of Calvary Tucson, where we are reaching for Jesus, connecting with people, and walking in truth.
If you are listening locally in the Tucson area and you have a school-aged child, we'd love for you to come find out more about Calvary Christian School, where we love God, love people, and love out loud. At CCS, teachers disciple students to become more like Jesus, arming them with a biblical worldview grounded in God's Word. Calvary Christian School is duly accredited, and our teachers and staff are focused on ministering to the heart of each and every student while challenging them both academically and spiritually. And thanks to scholarships provided by the state of Arizona, most students attend for little to no cost. For more information on our K-12 classes or to schedule a tour, look us up online at Calvary Christian School Tucson.